Common Core is a standard when it comes to K-12 education. Common Core state standards provide a, now this is what they say. This isn't, I'm reading directly from their bullet points in their slideshow. It says the Common Core state standards provide a constant, clear understanding of what students are expected to learn at each grade level, K through 12. Well, I've been communicating for a number of different reasons with a man named Bob Scarple. He's a state representative from Tioga, North Dakota, and Bob's been in the legislature a long time. And so he said, Joel, I want to visit with you a little bit and your listeners about Common Core. I want them to hear my take on this. I said, anytime, Bob. As long as we can get everybody on all sides of this on, which we will. We've invited Kirsten Baszler to come on. I think she's given that opportunity to a staff member of hers. But I want to visit with Representative Scarple about this. Bob, good to have you on News and Views.
Thanks, Joel. I thank you for giving me this opportunity.
What is Common Core the way you see it?
Joel, Common Core, the way I see it, is something that we should be very concerned about.
And why?
Because, Joel, as a legislator, and I know you did when you were in the legislature as well, you believe that the more we know about something in advance of accepting it, the better off we are. And unfortunately, there has been no legislative input into the development and the acceptance of Common Core. The fact of the matter is, it has been cloaked and veiled in secrecy in many ways. And in fact, there are people who were part of the working group who participated in developing these standards who were sworn and signed confidentiality statements, and even to this date, are hesitant to talk about it because of those confidentiality statements. I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, government shouldn't function in this fashion. And while I'm a strong believer in standards and education, I'm an equally strong believer in the fact that our founding fathers developed this country with the concept that states were supposed to be individual experiments in democracy. And for us to adopt something as comprehensive as this on a wide basis, and I'll get back into some numbers in a minute, is very concerning, because if we should in fact be adopting something that takes us down the wrong road, there's a large number of our states that are going in that direction. And all too often we have these new ideas that come forward in education, and they sound laudable. What sounds, you know, Common Core sounds really good. Sounds, you know, like something everybody should be in favor of. And, you know, it's a nice term. But, you know, when No Child Left Behind came out, you know, there were those that were supportive of it. There were those that were opposed to it. With hindsight, we're not too sure it was the best idea. In fact, there's pretty well been rejected in a lot of ways. And my fear is that by the adoption of this, we have taken a step that does not allow us the control of education, K-12 education in our state.
Is Common Core, Bob, being driven federally or locally?
Common Core was developed by a consortia of people. There was 29 people in this working group that developed it, and then it was embraced by the National Governors Association and by the Chief Council of Chief School Administrators, I think is a proper term. And that was done several years ago. Governor Holman was the governor at the time, and Dr. Sanstead was the head of the Department of Public Instruction. And 7 days after the release of the copyrighted Common Core standards, they're copyrighted. Once they're copyrighted, it is extremely difficult to change them. They were 7 days after they were brought out publicly. They were adopted and endorsed and signed onto by the state of North Dakota, and 44 other states ultimately signed on. A number of those states have now since started to reevaluate whether or not it was the right thing to do. In fact, Indiana has backed out. I believe, if I'm not incorrect, Mississippi has backed out. Not to the extent Indiana has, but, you know, it's one of those things that's been brought forward with very, very little public input. And even though even though teachers and educators in North Dakota took a look at it afterwards and had comments on it, those comments are meaningless because they cannot change the standard. You know, certainly it's been called the North Dakota standard now, or North Dakota standard is what it's referred to as. However, you know, that's meaningless because it's a copyrighted document.
So give me the worst case scenario. Give me, you keep bringing up lack of information. And so really what I hear from you is that you just don't know yet whether this is a good or a bad thing. So give me your fear of what might be happening here.
Well, Joel, I spent a lot of time, you know, reading about this during the winter. And I don't serve on the education committee, the K-12 education committee. I'm, you know, in the appropriations aspect of education. However, the more I read, the more concerned I became. And the reason I became ultimately concerned is, as you and I both know, the political environment in this nation has become severely polarized. And there are those on the right and there are those on the left. And it doesn't seem there's any middle ground anymore for agreement of any kind. And what ultimately is expected out of Common Core is that there will be assessments given at various grade levels to ensure that the students are learning what they needed to be taught to succeed, okay? But how do you define success? The assessment will define success. And to say that our teachers can continue to teach the way they have, you know, may or may not be true. I don't know. That's my concern, because if that assessment requires a very different socially engineered philosophy, I don't like that. You know, I don't necessarily appreciate where we're at today in our education system, because I think that our students today learn very little about our nation, its foundation, its basis. I don't think they understand capitalism. I think we've moved too far away from what our founding fathers based this nation on. And I'm very concerned that the assessment, which is still held in confidence, and there are parents who talk with children who are given sample assessments that are outraged at some of the questions. There's a CPA, for example, who had his child bring home a math problem that was part of his assessment, and the CPA couldn't figure out the answer to the math problem. I mean, what kind of math are we going to try teaching? There was the only mathematician that served on that working group to develop these standards. The only mathematician that was on there would not sign off on the document at the end. You know, Dr. James Milgram, he's a professor emeritus of mathematics at Stanford University and the only mathematician on the validation committee. And he would not sign off on it. He would not say that it was the right thing to do. I mean, it's just totally frustrating how this has been kept so confidential that parents and even educators don't get the opportunity to see what it is.
Representative Bob Scarple is our guest from Tioga, North Dakota, speaking out about his concerns of Common Core. Let me lay a little background here. We're going to have someone from DPI is going to join us a little bit later. Ryan Townsend is going to join us from the Department of Public Instruction and explain their support of Common Core. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have Representative Scarple join us back again with Ryan Townsend, and we'll take calls. And both sides can answer those calls as they see fit. And so for those of you that are busting at the seams to call in with your concerns or with your support or with why you think that this isn't the right way to go, we want to make you part of this interactive show. Emails coming in saying that one of the reasons that conservatives such as yourself are against Common Core is because it allows the teaching of evolution. True or not, Bob?
Joel, to be honest with you, I didn't know that. I didn't know that it involved evolution. What concerns me is the development of the assessments. The assessments are being developed by, again, a confidential group. When parents and teachers have tried to get to look at them, they're not allowed to. What is going to be the agenda of those assessments? If a teacher wishes to teach the right things, but has to teach something different in order to be successful on the assessments, something they don't necessarily agree with or want to spend time on, you know, they're not going to have that choice if North Dakota is going to be ranked high based on their assessments. They're going to teach to the assessments. So until we fully comprehend the direction these assessments are going, I don't believe the state of North Dakota should be buying into this project. I'm sorry.
Representative Scarple, how are we doing, in your estimation, now in terms of making sure that our young people are coming out of K-12 ready for that next level? How are we doing now?
Well, Joe, based on, you know, the current assessment process, it would seem to me that North Dakota should be, you know, fairly proud of what we're doing. We're not perfect, obviously. I don't believe we are. I think we can improve. We can always improve. But I'm going to suggest to you that our students are at least in the upper 20% of the assessment range, if not even higher. Why do we want to adopt standards that are designed for the national averages when we're already above average? It's illogical to me. And you know, again, I'll go back to the fact that these standards that we've adopted, based on the signature of then Department of Public Instruction Superintendent Wayne Sandsted and Governor Hovland, are copyrighted. They're copyrighted, and copywriting means you can't just change what you've adopted. You can add to, but you can't change that document.
Representative Scarple, we have a high rate of dropout of college after the first year. You know that, and I know that. Does that shine on our K-12 system, or is there other factors that go into why we have the highest rate of dropout after the first year?
Joel, there's a multitude of issues involved in that. You know, I mean, I think that we have students going to institutions that they weren't qualified to be going to. They should have started at some institution, you know, that would have given them a more personalized education. I believe that the continuity of the education they receive in K-12 is an issue that needs to be addressed. I think there's too many students that in their senior year don't have the rigor they need to be following on into college, but rather they've completed a bunch of stuff in their first 3 years of high school, and they kind of take it pretty easy that senior year. And then when it comes time to go to college, a lot of what they've been educated in their first 3 years is less present in their minds than it needs to be. So they go on to college and they end up in remedial courses. They get discouraged and they quit.
So have you spoke to Superintendent Baszler on this?
Joe, I haven't spoke to Superintendent Baszler in several months about this, but it just became so bothersome to me that I wanted to try to make the public aware. I believe the public needs to get involved in asking questions with regard to this. Teachers need to know more than they're able to know about this. I mean, it's been too confidential, too secretive a process, too secretive a development. And I just can't understand why we would buy off on that type of secrecy. You know, the people that have worked in the background developing this, you know, the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief School Administrators, or whatever that title is, they're privately funded. And there's a disturbing amount of funding that comes from educational publishers and various interests that have a vested interest in change, because change does mean that we're going to spend money. You know, it's been estimated that the nationwide cost over 7 years for Common Core Standard implementation is nearly $16 billion. North Dakota costs are estimated conservatively at $40 million annually. Now, that's a lot of money to invest in something we know very little about.
When you look at, and I'm looking at, Superintendent Baszler sent me the bullet points of what must have been provided to your education committees, both in the Senate and the House. And it looks like it's a moving and evolving kind of a target. And with that in mind, I want this conversation to be that as well. Representative Scarple, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to bring you back in. Keep your phone on you, okay? Because when we get to the questions, I want to have both sides answer some of those questions, okay?
All right.
Representative Bob Scarpel from Tioga. Now, when we come back, we're going to hear from Ryan Townsend. He's with the Department of Public Instruction on why he believes Common Core is good. And some concerns. And there were consistent themes that he brought up. Number one was that everything was copyrighted, that there wasn't a window into how all this was developed or what was in it. Ryan, can you speak to that?
Yeah. As far as a copyright goes, there are states who have not adopted the Common Core and use them. Alaska is a good example. If you look at Alaska's standards, they're nearly identical to what we have as the North Dakota state standards, and they're considered a non-adopter.
So okay.
As far as the copyright, when we adopted, we were given an opportunity to add to them up to about 15%, I think. But our group of teachers, the 65 teachers that North Dakota brought together to discuss those standards prior to their adoption, didn't want to add anything to them.
Okay. So when you say we adopted them, how did that process go? How did North Dakota adopt Common Core?
Well, the history of it actually goes back to like 1999, when the state legislature enacted 15.1 in our century code. And that gave the state superintendent some duties. And one of those duties was to oversee the development of content standards. So after receiving that duty, a process was developed in order to adopt standards. In North Dakota, state school administrators will nominate teachers to sit on a committee in that content area. So in this case, the Common Core state standards are for mathematics and for English language arts. And so we had 65 teachers in ELA and math, 30 in one and 35 in the other, come in for a series of monthly meetings to discuss those standards and research that goes along with it. We have four documents available on our website of a gap analysis where those teachers then compared the old standards to these new standards and spent a lot of time researching that and looking at the alignment, how our old standards align to the new standards, and found that there was actually pretty good alignment. The old standards and the new standards asked for a lot of very similar things. The rigor, though, was upped a bit. So it was going to ask more of our students than of our teachers. But it was after that series of meetings that a draft was released to the public for comment. And there were press releases in papers asking people to comment. We got some comments. I remember I was superintendent of Divide County Schools up in Crosby at the time. And I remember emailing out my staff, you know, hey, make sure you take a look at these. These are going to be your new standards, could be your new standards soon. And, you know, they want to get input on them. And I'm fairly certain that some of my teachers made a few of those comments. And so after those comments are taken in and reviewed again, the committee moved forward with a recommendation to the state superintendent, who at the time was Dr. Sandstead, for their adoption.
Okay. So there was input, is what you're saying, from and plenty of opportunity from teachers themselves. Ryan, in your advocacy for this, what have you found from teachers? What now that they know that this is kicking in, now that they know that we've adopted and we're moving forward on Common Core, what response are you getting from teachers?
You know, North Dakota has always had a high bar when it comes to our schools. We've always had high expectations for our students and for our teachers. You know, a new set of standards doesn't change that. It ups the bar a little bit for us, but our teachers, you know, they're prepared. They're professionals. They understand what grade level expectations are, and I've seen overwhelming support for the standards themselves. But the standards themselves aren't what makes schools in North Dakota great. It's the people working in them, it's the families that live here that make our schools great.
So you're not concerned at all that under the new Common Core standards, that the great job that these people you've worked with for years, that basically what North Dakota's doing, that this will dumb us down, for lack of a better way of putting it?
Absolutely not. No, these standards are developed specifically for college and career readiness that we, you know, of going forward and what a student's going to need. I mean, our teachers are professionals. They know what it is that their kids are going to need to know. They're aware of the standards, and I'm not the least bit concerned that these standards are a dumbing down of anything in North Dakota. The gap analysis that we have also shows that. And teachers are aware, too, that standards are the floor, not the ceiling. So if there is an area where they feel like this is less than what their students are capable of, teachers have full and free rein to go above and beyond that standard.
So when you look at, you know, how all of this shakes out and you go out and you explain to people, when you get face-to-face with them about Common Core, what are some of the things that you hear that are the biggest misinterpretations of Common Core?
Well, one of them that you mentioned from the email, that somehow this involves evolution. These are standards of English and math. There is nothing in there about science or social studies. There are literacy standards that go into those subjects, but they're certainly not content standards for science or for social studies or for career technical courses. Anybody that wants to read these standards can read them online. They're on our website, freely available. There's nothing in there outside of English, language arts, and mathematics. The other one would be that this is a federal thing, or that this is going to take away our school's ability to choose their own curriculum. And, you know, that also isn't true. There are states that haven't adopted this, and as Representative Scarfell said, Indiana backed out. Their standards are up for public comment right now, too. And I reviewed them the other day, and they're still pretty similar to what the Common Core asked for. And I think that's because they're a good set of college and career-ready standards. So if you were going to develop your own set of standards, a good set of college and career-ready standards would be a good place to start.
Okay, so when all of this kicks in, the way we're on schedule right now, with everything being codified in the code, what approach is DPI taking to all of this? This is a freight train that's moving forward the way it looks to me.
Well, these standards were officially implemented as of July 1 of 2013. So, yeah, our schools this entire year have been fully implementing these standards. Absolutely.
Okay. So what are you hearing from other legislative leaders other than Representative Scarpell? I'm looking at some of the track history of the legislation, and it appears that in no way is this in any way a partisan issue. I realize that when Common Core was codified, that really this was done through a Democrat at the time, but yet a Republican governor. And yet it appears that the Education Committee chairs in both the House and the Senate support, both being Republican, Common Core. So I don't see how this could in any way could be perceived to be a partisan issue.
Yeah, and you know, I think in the end what we're supporting is rigorous standards, a high bar for our schools. You know, the Common Core was adopted in a lot of different ways in a lot of different states. But in North Dakota, when we received those standards, we brought in teachers, a lot of teachers, public school, private school, higher ed teachers, to discuss those. And then we opened it up for comment. So I think what we're supporting is the idea of a high bar for our kids and the professionalism of our teachers to determine what it is that's important for their students at each grade level.
Okay. Ryan Townsend with the Department of Public Instruction is our guest. We asked him to come on and give a brief overview of what he felt Common Core was prior to opening up the phone lines and allowing people to question both you and Representative Scarpell with question or comment about Common Core. Ryan, we gave you a little less time than we did Representative Scarpell. Anything else you want to put out there before we go to the phone calls?
You know, the standards themselves don't require an assessment. There was a lot of discussion about an assessment. We did adopt, or we are a part of the Smarter Balance Consortium, of which parents can go onto their website and take the sample test right now. Anybody can take the sample test and see what it is that's going to be asked of our kids. But the standards themselves do not mandate an assessment. Our state law mandates an assessment. 15.1-21 is curriculum and testing. And it requires our schools to offer a state assessment. So the state assessment actually is what requires an assessment, not the standards themselves.
And that was in place long before Common Core.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's Ryan, hang with me. I want to get Representative Scarpel back on to join you in the conversation, okay?
You bet.
One saying we need to relook at Common Core, another saying, you know what, we don't. But before that, Ford is recalling almost 4,000 F-Series pickups. A problem with the transmission could cause the truck to jump into reverse when the driver thinks they're shifting from park to drive. No accidents related to the problem have been reported. All right. Let's get to Representative Bob Scarpel, see if we still got him. Bob, are you back?
I'm back.
All right. Hold on a second. I want to tie Ryan in as well. Ryan Townsend with the Department of Public Instruction. Do I have you, Ryan?
You bet.
All right, let's get to the phone calls, guys. Tim, you're on with a question or comment about Common Core. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, the real truth about this whole Common Core thing is another big fat check from Washington, isn't it?
All right, thank you, Tim. I'll let you address that first, Ryan.
Yeah, the State Department has received zero federal dollars for the adoption of the Common Core. We do receive federal funds for Title I, Title II, several titles, as well as our school lunch program. But because of the adoption of these standards, we have received $0 from the federal government.
Bob, are you comfortable with that? The answer to that question?
Well, Joel, to be very honest, I have a really hard time hearing Ryan. His volume was really low.
Okay, he said that they've received zero. They do get the normal money they get through Title I, Title IX, some of the other the hot lunch program, those type of things. But when it comes to Common Core, they have received $0.
No, I wouldn't quite agree with that because, to my recollection, we received several million dollars into the Information Technology Department to develop the data analysis and tracking system to allow us to do what needs to be done for the assessment evaluation. So we've received several million dollars and it appeared to have committed us. But, Joel, if you would bear with me just a minute, based on what Ryan said about the development of the standards, I want to read you a quote from the press release that the DPI put out after doing this, okay? It says, the state of North Dakota has been invited to adopt the verbatim language and content of the Common Core state standards in English, language, arts, and mathematics. Adopting these Common Core state standards as the state's official content standards means that the state's next generation of content standards would contain the same rigorous college and career-ready standards as a majority of states nationwide. To adopt the Common Core standards requires the state to not alter any actual Common Core standards language, but would allow the states to include additional unique state standards or support language. Now, that's a direct quote.
And I want to see what Ryan thinks about that quote. Ryan, your take on that.
Yep, and that's exactly it. We were offered the ability to add to it, and we were offered the ability to add supplemental and supportive language, and we decided not to add to those standards, and we did add supplemental language that you can find marked with asterisks throughout the standards document. But again, it wasn't that we just adopted them verbatim. It was that we brought in teachers from all over the state in public school, private school, and higher ed to discuss those standards if they were the right standards for us. You know, we didn't have to adopt them. Nobody said we have to. But the work of some fantastic educators from across the state sat down and said, yeah, these are good standards, and we can get behind these.
And Bob, do you have a concern about that, Bob?
You know, Joe, the standards are not so much the issue as the assessment, because the assessment will determine the curriculum, okay? The curriculum will be to do well on the assessment. The students need to do well, because if the students don't do well, the teacher will not reflect well in that assessment, and that would jeopardize the teacher's, you know, potential career. And teachers, you know, are going to teach to the assessment, whether they agree with the philosophy or not. You know, it's been suggested to me that
I want to ask you this, though, Bob. Weren't the assessments forced or basically mandated by the legislature? They weren't part of the Common Core, right? The legislature is the one that instructed for the assessments.
correct, Joel. We instructed for assessment, but not the assessment that Common Core initiated. The assessments that are being developed that Ryan referred to, and I don't remember the acronym, there's TARC and there's another one that starts with S, but I mean, it's, you know, there's a new set of assessments being developed at a cost of about $300 million that are going to be utilized to evaluate success. And those assessments have not yet been put into play because the curriculum has not been in play long enough.
Ryan, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind because I want to give you the opportunity to address that. People are waiting on hold to have access to both of them. Let's do it. Charles, your question or comment about Common Core.
Well, I have a question, but I also have a couple comments. The one is that there was $96 billion given out to entice states with Common Core. There was $362 million that were given to states in federal stimulus money. There's $4.35 billion raised to the top state grants. So for anyone to say that there wasn't money thrown out there to entice states is really not telling the truth. The other part that's really disturbing about Common Core is the data mining. They're actually taking all the information of our kids' health records, discipline records, and they're actually accumulating a lot of data, a database for that. But the question I have to the DPI representative, if this meeting happened in 2010, I'm actually reading from your facts.
Let's go. Okay, get to it.
Meeting of 60 North Dakota educators. When did that take place? And in 2010, there were no standards. How could they evaluate them?
Okay, thank you, Charles. Go ahead, Ryan.
You know, the idea that there was federal money, yeah, absolutely, to other states. But North Dakota is not a race to the top state. North Dakota is not a waiver state. The Department of Public Instruction has received zero extra dollars for these standards. We have not received any money from the U.S. Department of Education in any form to implement these standards or to promote these standards, and we stand to lose no money. Excuse me. The data mining, I think, comes from the SLEDS program, the State Longitudinal Data System, and that actually came about even before the Common Core existed. At the time, I think North Dakota was kind of shrinking. You know, we were losing population. And there was questions as to what we could do, you know, what data could we collect to help businesses and everybody else to understand how we could get people back in North Dakota to stay in North Dakota. The Department of Instruction is one of many. Commerce, Human Services, there's a lot of different state departments that are involved in that project. But the Common Core doesn't require it.
There is one other factor here, though. I'm looking at in terms of getting data together, the ACT requires versus the Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium requirement, and it's glaringly different. The ACT is, in terms of data mining, Ryan, it appears that if you take your ACT, they're going to get a lot more information on you than they do through Common Core.
Yeah, absolutely. And the state assessment, we've been taking the state assessment for decades. And we've been giving that information every year, you know, what school the student attends, what grade they're in. We don't give addresses. We don't give student names. We're not going to give your name. It's going to be an ID number. You know, it's just generic information about where the student is for the state assessment.
Out of all the concerns that I've heard, Bob, Representative Scarpa, the one that doesn't, it just in simple fact that's sitting in front of me, The data mining is one that I can't adhere to. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers, and you must have seen this, Bob, in the flow charts and in the bullet point presentation, way different than the ACT. The ACT gets everything in your middle name, too.
Well, Joel, the problem is that once we transfer the data that is included in that system to the federal government, we no longer have ownership of it. It can be used in whatever way they wish. And unfortunately, you know, data is something that we all know is susceptible to hacking. And creating a system that could conceivably lend itself to a situation in which personal data and private information about students is very concerning. And I believe very strongly that we need to reevaluate. I mean, Ryan likes to talk about we've done assessments for years, and he's right. but we haven't done the assessments that are being created as a part of the Common Core standards. And the science standards that has been suggested to me that are going to be part of this suggest that fossil fuels are bad. You know, in North Dakota, do we believe that? Is that something that we think our students should learn in school and be tested on? I don't think so.
Well, let's let Ryan speak to that. Ryan, is that something that's going to be thrust upon students, that fossil fuels, for example, are bad?
You know, state standards don't carry opinion. They're grade level expectation. The new North Dakota state science standards are out for public comment right now as well. On our website, if anyone wants to read those standards and comment on them, they certainly can.
Somebody said they were trying to get into the Common Core on your website, and they needed a password. Is there a password that you have to have, Ryan, to get in there?
No.
Okay. So I didn't think that was... let's get to Craig. Craig, you're on with Bob and Ryan. Go ahead, Craig.
I wish these Republicans would just admit that they're against evolution, and that's what's in Common Core, and that's why they don't like Common Core, and it doesn't have anything to do with the federal government or the state government. It has everything to do with evolution and the ability that no Republican candidate in the country right now can admit the fact of evolution without risking the Tea Party, know-nothings coming down their throat. So let's just get it out. It's evolution, isn't it? And this guy doesn't believe in it.
All right, let's get Bob's take on that. Bob, the evolution question comes your way.
Joe, again, I apologize. I cannot hear some of the things that people are saying.
Okay, it's hard when you have three on at the same time. Bob, let me paraphrase what he's saying. That you and others, this whole opposition to Common Core is actually cloaked behind your apprehension for the teaching or even the mention of evolution, and that's why the Margaret Cities and the Brenda Hellers are all up in arms against this.
Joe, that's totally incorrect from my perspective. You know, I can't talk about what other people's beliefs are, but from my perspective, evolution has never been a part of this discussion. My real concern about this goes back to the fact that we don't know what the assessments are going to require in order to have a successful assessment, and the effects of that assessment reflect on the student and the teachers. And until we have a legislative discussion, an open and full legislative discussion of what we're asking our teachers to teach and our students to know, I don't believe we should be moving forward. Now, I'm told, and from what I've read, the discretion that teachers have in moving away from the standards is 5%. There's a limitation on what they can do. And I would submit to you that any teacher is going to try to work to have high scores.
Well, certainly. I mean, I would, if I was a teacher too, I'd work to have high scores. Ryan, your thoughts on what Representative Scarple just said?
You know, North Dakota's been a part of the field testing that's been occurring with Smarter Balance, which is the testing consortium that we're in. And those results are going to help identify what the cut scores are for proficient. So we've had thousands of students taking part in helping to set what it is that's going to be expected of students. We also have 60 teachers, it's called the State Network of Educators, that are working to develop items and review items for that test. Now, the nice thing about that setup is that it's a Senate-based model. So California, for instance, with millions of more students than we do, also has 60 teachers working on those assessment items. So North Dakota has a greater representation in this new assessment consortium than we've ever had before. And it's an adaptive test. You know, the idea that we could teach to this test, each student is going to get a different set of questions based on their abilities. So if a student gets one right, the next question becomes a little more difficult. If they get it wrong, it becomes a little more easier, helping to narrow in on where that student's range of proficiency is.
Okay, let's get back to the phone lines, and let's get to John. John, you have a question or a comment.
Yeah, morning, Joel. I'm a school board member. I've just got a couple comments here. I think Bob hit things on the nail. It's the testing and where the assessments will end up. At a minimum, in my opinion, DPI has done a lackluster job of trying to let the teachers that I know where this is headed, what the expectations are, because you can pull up four different teachers and you can get four different answers to how this is going to go forward. And that's a concern. And if you got the administration who wants the assessments and the scoring to be high, so that's going to go back to the teachers. They say it doesn't affect curriculum, but ultimately will it, because we've got to pass the standards and the assessments to the best of everybody's ability. We think that the idea of Common Core is a great way to go, but it's a lofty goal, and it seemed to be in fast forward. You know, I've been on a school board a number of years. I think I've seen three separate new ideas come out, and none of them stay exactly as is. So I think it's time and caution going forward will get us farther than arguing about details of it.
Okay. Thanks, John. I want to let Ryan answer that. Ryan, your thoughts on what the school board member just said.
Yeah, we actually have revised our standards several times since 2001, and every time we change the test because the test is aligned to those standards. And absolutely, standards guide curriculum. They are not curriculum. They won't tell you which curriculum to buy. They won't tell you which instructional method to use, but they should guide your curriculum choices. You know, I used to volunteer for an ambulance service in Grafton, and we had a standard of care. Well, you can bet that standard influenced the way that I treated my patients in the back of that ambulance, in the same way that the standards that I had as a science teacher when I taught in Minto would influence the curriculum that I chose. But it wouldn't drive, you know, it doesn't, it's not the curriculum itself. It just drives it and guides it.
Guys, you tell me what you want to do here. I've got to go to a break, but they're stacked up like cordwood. Bob, do you want to do this anymore, or you just want to listen to calls off air?
No, Joel, I'm fine being on air.
Okay, Ryan, how about you? You got more time to give me?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, then we're going to have you hold. Let's go find Terry. We have with us Representative Bob Scarple from Tioga speaking in opposition to Common Core, and Ryan Townsend. Ryan works with the Department of Public Instruction, and we're going to take your calls. We're going to begin with Steve. Steve, you're on.
Hello, Joe. I'm on?
Yes.
Well, my question is, I would like to know if Ryan would make sure that posted on the Department of Public Instruction's website is the full request for proposals by the Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium and all of the related documents and the response to that request for proposal, and so that the people of North Dakota can see specifically and exactly what are the assessments going to be.
Okay, what proposal again? Because I was having a hard time hearing you there, Steve.
The Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium.
Okay, Ryan, did you catch that?
You know, I'm not real sure.
Okay, I was having a hard. Hang on with me. Let me get through some of these calls. Renee, you're on News and Views. Go ahead, Renee.
Yes, I heard Ryan say that standards guide curriculum. And that is true. And my problem with this is that we can no longer go to our state government and have things changed. Now we have to go to the federal. And I have an example of how these standards are guiding curriculum. We homeschool. And 2 years ago, I was looking for some high school curriculum. We used Singapore math. And when I was going to be purchasing our high school curriculum, I noticed that Singapore math had discontinued their current books and we're republishing, and their standards had been lowered a whole year. So now at 10th grade, instead of my student entering calculus, they are now going to be entering pre-calculus with this new published curriculum. And the reason they're doing this is to align themselves with the state or the Common Core standards. And that is my problem. No longer can schools pick a curriculum that they think is perfect for their students. They have to go by these standards that the federal government
okay,
is
let's
mandated.
Let them answer to that, Renee. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Ryan, your thoughts on what she said.
You know, as a homeschool parent, they have the ultimate freedom. I mean, they get to choose absolutely every resource that their students are exposed to. The public schools still have 100% local control over that. There's no textbook that I can recommend right now. I mean, I I know a lot about these standards. I've read them forward and backward, and there isn't a textbook series that I've seen out there right now that is perfect. Schools are using a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Some are developing their own curriculum. Utah is a great example. Their state, they wrote their own textbooks. You know, that's certainly something North Dakota could do. We could, if we could get, you know, the state legislature to support that through some funding, we'd love to write local textbooks for our teachers and schools to use right here in North Dakota. But those are freely available too. If you want to go to Utah, those textbooks are free for anybody to use. But there's nothing coming out of the State Department or out of the federal government that says, here's the book you have to use, here's when you have to use it, here's the worksheets. It is entirely up to each local school district and each school board to determine what curriculum they use. And at some places, that's the individual teacher, and other places, there's district policy guiding that. But there's nothing from the state that says what they have to use or at what level they have to use it.
Bob, I want to give you a chance to address that as well. Are you hearing from a lot of homeschoolers with concerns?
Joe, I'm not hearing from homeschoolers, but there's virtually no textbooks available out there for teachers to get to that are not Common Core standards originated. You can't get textbooks anymore, or virtually can't, that don't have the Common Core standards incorporated into them. So to say that they can use whatever textbook they want, you know, is a bit bogus. I'm sorry, it just is. But before we get...
Hold on, Bob. I only have a couple seconds left. Ryan, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, prior to the Common Core, there were a couple of large states that mandated textbooks, like California and Texas. So a lot of the developers of textbooks actually wrote those textbooks for those state standards. And we purchased them anyway, knowing that we would change them and use some of it and not use other parts.
Let Bob address that. Bob?
Again, Joe, if you don't have the capability to buy textbooks that don't incorporate the Common Core standards, what do you do? That's the question.
Okay. I don't have time, Bob. I am sorry. The clock got me. Folks, I'll take your calls right after this.
Rolling up the press drill. Do you remember the last time?